Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. So we are in Sandhya Nivarini, in the chapter 7 of this beautiful treatise of question and answers. And this is one chapter, as we had discussed before, when the devotee says, "Swami, I do not have any doubts." And Swami says, once you do not have any doubts, that is purity. Understand that when these doubts do not come of themselves, and if they are not entertained by you, that is purity. In fact, Swami says, when these two happen, that is what is one-pointedness. Nevertheless, the devotee says, "Swami, please tell us what we should do so that we can attain your proximity, we can attain your nearness and dearness." And that is when Bhagavan starts putting down beautiful jewels of wisdom, beautiful tenets which are synopsis of his teachings. And in every episode, the last few weeks, we have been taking each one of them and contemplating on them. We broke this into various segments and we are now in segment 7.3. So let's listen to what Bhagavan has written in this. We have covered a few points in this segment and we'll proceed from point number 21 in today's session. But let's listen to this whole segment, which has all that Bhagavan has mentioned in point number 15 to point number 30. We have Brother Bhargav joining us, like in many previous episodes of this session. Whomever Swami sends every day for this session is a blessing, and it is only His will that whatever wants to be communicated, He chooses who should be the carrier of His message on that particular day. So let's listen to Bhagavan and then we'll move on with sharing our thoughts, our insights.
Try to keep under check the five sins that the body commits: killing, adultery, theft, drinking intoxicants, and meat eating. The sacred life can reach the highest if these can be completely avoided. 16. One must be always vigilant, without a moment's carelessness, against the eight sins that the mind perpetrates: kamam or lust, krodham or anger, lobham or greed, moham or attachment, mada or ego, envy, hatred and pride. Man's primary duty is to keep all these things at a safe distance. 17. When in pursuit of wrong actions, man's mind acts hurriedly. During these times, without allowing the mind to go its way, remember the name of the Lord and attempt to do some good deed or the other. Those who do thus will certainly become fit for the grace of the Lord. 18. First, give up the evil tendency to feel envious at the prosperity of others and the desire to harm them. Be happy that others are happy. Sympathize with those who are in adversity and wish for their well-being. This is the sign of God's love present in you. 19. Patience is all the strength that man needs. 20. Those who aspire for happiness must be engaged in good deeds. 21. It is easy to conquer anger through love, attachment through reasoning, falsehood through truth, bad through good, and greed through charity. 22. Do not respond to the words of the wicked. It is good to keep them at a distance. In fact, do not have any relationship with such people. 23. Seek the company of good men, even at the cost of your honor and life. However, pray to God to bless you with the discrimination needed to distinguish between the good and the bad. You must also endeavor to do this with the intelligence given to you. 24. No doubt, those who conquer kingdoms and earn fame in the world are hailed as heroes. But truly, those who have conquered the senses must be acclaimed as the conquerors of the universe. 25. The results of one's action, whether good or bad, continue to always pursue man. 26. Greed yields only sorrow. Contentment is best. There is no happiness greater than contentment. 27. The evil manipulations of the mind has to be uprooted, else it will ruin life itself. 28. Bear with fortitude both loss and grief, and search for that which will benefit you and grant you joy. 29. When you are invaded by anger, practice silence or remember the name of the Lord. Do not remind yourself of things which will inflame the anger more. That will do incalculable harm. 30. From this moment, avoid all bad habits. Do not delay or postpone. They do not contribute the slightest joy or happiness.
So those are Bhagavan's directions, 15 of them. And in the previous session we discussed point number 20, those who aspire for happiness must be engaged in good deeds. And moving on to 21, Swami says it's easy to conquer anger through love, attachment through reasoning, falsehood through truth, bad through good, and greed through charity.
Also profound.
Absolutely. I mean, it almost seems like each thing is
a complete package in itself.
Absolutely. It's a distillation of Hanuman Upanishad.
Yes.
So, you know, I was reminded of the story Bhagwan used to narrate of Vishwamitra and Vashishta.
Yes.
So, we know how Vishwamitra had that ambition to become a Brahmarishi.
Brahmarishi, yes.
And so Vishwamitra does penance, and in the first few thousands of years that he does penance, and the power that he accrues because of the penance, the gods in the heavens, they say, are threatened. They feel that he might become more powerful than all the gods, and so to distract him, they send a heavenly damsel, and he does get distracted.
Yes.
And so he starts living with this lady, and he has a child, and after that suddenly realizes, oh, what happened to me?
What am I doing?
What am I doing? And you know, and then he goes back to his penance, and now he does penance again for thousands of years, and again the gods are scared of the immensity of his penance, and now they send one more heavenly damsel, and now Vishwamitra is wiser and he does not want to get distracted. And what happens now is he gets angry. So he opens his eyes and he, in a moment of anger, he banishes and perhaps curses this lady who was trying to disturb his penance. So, and after that, he completes his penance and he attains the position of a Brahmarishi. And so again, this is very symbolic, you know, to become a Brahmarishi, first you have to conquer desire, conquer lust, then you conquer anger.
Yeah.
And after that, you attain whatever can be attained in the spiritual plane, which is considered highest. But at the same time, people did not consider him as Brahmarishi as much as they considered Vasishtha,
yes,
as the Brahmarishi. And he always had that feeling that why, you know, Vasishtha does not honor me as a Brahmarishi. And Vasishtha is such a revered sage. And, you know, again, he feels that, you know, if in some way, if Vasishtha is eliminated, then he'll be the only Brahmarishi in the world. And, you know, he will get that adoration. And so, as the story goes, one day he comes to Vasishtha's ashram with the aim of eliminating Vasishtha. And interestingly, that day Vasishtha is sitting outside with his disciples and he's looking at the moonlight, and Vasishtha, for some reason, was singing the glories of Vishwamitra. And Vasishtha was saying, you know, Vishwamitra is such an exalted sage. Look at his tapas. Look at the immensity of his penance and the attainments he has gained. And his virtues shine like the moonlight. And when Vishwamitra hears this, he's so overpowered. He's so overcome also with repentance about the act that he had planned.
His intention, yes.
To do. And here his so-called enemy is actually so much of love for him. His heart is overflowing with love for him. And so immediately comes out of the hiding and he falls at the feet of Vishwamitra, Vasishtha, and he says, please forgive me, please pardon me, you know. And Vasishtha says, no, there is no problem. Why are you, you know? It's all fine. And that is when Vasishtha says that now that you have conquered, you have realized the power of love, you know, now you will be recognized as a Brahmarishi. So it was an occasion of where Vasishtha was able to convert that anger that was there in Vishwamitra into repentance, into love, into a sense of surrender.
Yes.
And to me, the way Vasishtha did it was just by opening his heart out and pouring that love.
Yes.
And I think this is something that we have not just read in the scriptures, but I think this is something that we see in day-to-day life, isn't it? I think there are so many occasions where in our homes, in our offices, in our workplaces, in our professional spaces, we have seen difficult people to deal with.
Yes.
And every time, if we believed in the power of love, just like Gandhiji believed, I think we do see miracles unfolding, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, you being a bhajan group, a member of bhajan group, I remember when you told open your heart and pour out love. I think there's a beautiful bhajan actually. Bala Gopal KJ Sai Shyam. Prema Bharo Dil Mein Hamare Saar. When you actually sing that,
yes.
So basically you're asking for that. It means you remove that anger which is there, or remove all the vices and fill our hearts with your love. And
yes.
So when we ask, it's a very, very sweet and very nice desire when we sing this bhajan. And so I feel whatever you were just mentioned about Vasishtha pouring out. So probably this is where we ask, we beseech our Lord to fill our hearts with that love, so that whenever we go and deal with any such people whom you are talking about who are difficult to deal with, we can actually, that love which we receive from our Swami actually can go and transform them.
Absolutely. In fact, there is that powerful tale of the plane hijack, which is recorded. Dr. Michael Goldstein was there on that occasion, wherein the hijackers had almost on the point of firing, and Phyllis Crystal,
yes,
the legendary devotee, has recorded this, how in that moment she just felt that I will see Swami in these hijackers. And she started pouring love into those so-called evil people. And it was a great moment for everyone in the plane to see how suddenly, for some reason, these hijackers loosened their grasp on the weapons. And what was supposed to be a grave in the skies for all these people,
passengers,
it was absolutely unexplainable how everything just changed.
Yes.
And Swami himself actually alluded to this, how Swami had warned Dr. Michael Goldstein not to go that day, and he went that day, and how Bhagwan worked in the form of love through Phyllis Crystal.
Yes.
I think there are so many such telling experiences. I personally also can relate to many such things that happen in our life. You know, it could be a colleague, it could be a friend, and you know, for some reason you feel that there is some lack of harmony. And if only you sit every day in the morning and just pour love into that being, pour love into that person, everyone would have thought that it is not going to work. You know,
yes,
this is a difficult person, but things change, isn't
it? Just coming back to just what you just now told, that I don't know whether you are aware, there's a story of a tribe in Africa, which actually from there, you know, this operating system called Linux, it has got an OS operating system called as Ubuntu.
Yes, Ubuntu. The
Ubuntu operating system. There's a very interesting story to it, that this one of these Western scientists had gone there, and then he had actually seen that if someone does any act which is not correct, act which is not dharmic, something which is done in anger or in greed or because of desire, so their way of retribution is very different. Their way of punishment is very different. Like exactly the way you told, pour out love. So what they do is they make this person stand in the middle of the village, and they all surround him, all the elders and other people of the village, and then they just pour out and say how good you are.
Oh,
how good you are, and
how positive
things can be if you are good. Like only positive vibrations are sent to this person, and needless to say, it brings a transformation. It automatically, the person who has done whatever wrong he has done, he feels that repentance for it, and then he probably says, okay, I will not do it again. So pouring out love to a person who has actually done wrong, this actually is followed here. And one more interesting facet about this particular tribe is that there was one story which goes, and which is actually a logo of the Ubuntu operating system also, of Linux, because Linux is an open software. So it says that once when some particular type of scientific research was going on, One of these persons who was a Western scientist, he had told, okay, to engage the kids. He told, I'll I'll go and tie a bag of chocolates or sweets in a tree, on a tree, and make all of them stand around 10 meters away from it. And say, whoever goes and picks it up and grabs it first, I'll give him double. I'll give him more such sweets.
Mm-hmm.
To his utter surprise and shock and awe, he finds that all the kids of that particular tribe, they all hold hand in hand, make a circle,
yes,
go together and touch that bag of sweets together.
Together, yes.
And then when he saw that this is an alien concept, because I grab, I get, I enjoy. That is what is actually the philosophy generally which is yes. there, the corporate or the capitalistic
yes.
philosophy.
Yes.
So when he was exposed to this, he was flabbergasted. Then he went and found out from the elders of the tribe, they told that I exist because of we.
Yes.
Exactly, Swami says, I to we to he.
Absolutely.
So, this is actually love which we are talking about.
Absolutely.
So, and then probably something which really hit me was the last one, greed through charity.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, like, if you just see Swami, whatever he has done.
Mm-hmm.
One brother was sharing with me, just recently, 2-3 days back, about Harshi trip. You know, Swami had gone
yes.
to Harshi.
Yes.
There, he had gone to Harshi, it's near Pune.
Yes.
Inaugurated one Pandurunga temple there and then went to Mumbai. It's in 2009. One of the very last trips he had made. So there, this brother was there with Swami and the lunch was ready and sumptuous lunch and all the big massive dining table is there. Swami is sitting in the middle and all these brothers are sitting around. And the host comes and says, okay, Swami, please start having it. So Swami asks a very spontaneous question. Swami says, there's thousands of devotees outside. What are you feeding them? And this host, in the same amount of spontaneity, says, Swami, whatever you're eating, exactly the same thing we are feeding them also. And this brother shares that the type of joy and spontaneity which Swami had that lunch that day, they have not seen it like that. Because he was so happy, he was so joyful that whatever I am eating, only my devotees are eating there. There is nothing different between me and them.
Wow.
So, like, if this is what is actually charity according to Swami.
Yes.
You whenever you give something to someone, you put them in your shoes and see what I am doing, what I am trying to enjoy, what I am trying to get benefit by anything. Are they also getting the same benefit or not?
Mm-hmm.
So if we have the thought, that greed will automatically vanish. And so this is one glimpse which Swami had given that when he was sharing this thought.
Mm-hmm.
And second, like as recent as today evening, we had gone for a small gram seva. So we were coming back. So there's a place called 20 kilometers from here. So we thought it's a beautiful, when you are coming back from this village, we just saw a beautiful paddy field, green, verdant it was. So we thought we'll just go, just take some photographs. So beautiful it was, sunset was there. So when we went there, there was this one particular farmer, he was a very humble farmer, he was standing there. He saw us, with a beaming smile, he just invited us, welcomed us. So very matter of fact way we asked, do you know Swami, we have come from Puttaparthi. He told, sir, what are you asking? How can you ask me whether I know Swami or not? And he showed and told, see, I'm standing and talking to you because of Swami.
Wow.
I told, wow, how is it? We were really curious to know. He said, he just showed his leg and shows one of his hands.
Mm-hmm.
His hand had a massive fracture.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a rod put and there was a surgery done on his hand.
Mm-hmm.
And one of his legs had a fracture. He was going in a bullock cart. The bullocks went out of control. He fell down, had a major fracture in his leg. He told, sir, even that was fixed by Swami. And then now he's having some nervous problem or something. He told, sir, I'm coming to General Hospital. Who else, sir, other than Swami?
Wow.
He is the one who takes care of us. How can you ask a question like that?
Mm-hmm.
That do you know him or not? I know him very well, sir. And you, and he was ready to, please, sir, I want to offer something to you about, as a token of love from my side. So touching when, because Swami has just done a small hospital, or he just put something, but without our knowledge, how many millions he touches without our knowledge.
Unlock the power of love.
Yes.
In so many hearts.
So many, yes.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, as we were talking about this, I was reminded of a story of an MBA student.
Mm-hmm.
He had completed MBA here, and then he was deputed to work in the Jalgaon District Milk Producers Cooperative Milk Union.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the head of sales and marketing functions. And, he's just come in and he was asked to lead a group of 30, 35 people. And so when he was sent here as the head of the marketing wing of National Dairy Development Board, actually that union, that milk union, was supposed to be one of the most dreaded.
Mm-hmm.
And because apart from very difficult working hours, stretching from early morning to late nights, he had to manage a team of people who were known to be the toughest nuts to crack in the organization.
Mm-hmm.
The leaders of workers' union and, the very heavyweight leaders there. And in fact, for many people to get that position was always treated as a disincentive. And so it is supposed to be, it is going to be one of his nightmares. And so he was thinking what to do. The leaders of almost all the unions, they were in his wing. And most of the rival union leaders, they were reporting to him. And so when he entered the office for the first time, the kind of welcome that he got, like everyone was just staring at him, like a stern stare at him. It's like, who are you? Why have you come here? That kind of a look. And you're supposed to head that division. And he just went and he sat on his chair. Even before he realized what was happening, the door just flung open, lightning speed. And someone just barged into his chamber. And it was a stout, much feared union leader, a firebrand leader. He was just sitting. And, there was no courtesies like, good morning, asking permission to come inside, nothing of that sort. Whatever that union leader did was the perfect and the right thing, so nobody challenged him. He was the rule. So that person just asked, so, what is my work? He just, in a very brisk voice, in his abrasive Hindi, he just tried to tell him. And this boy, Vamsi, was absolutely clueless. He just come to the office. It was like some scene from a horror movie for him. And so, unaware of his posting and completely no idea what kind of task to give to this leader, Vamsi just politely asked him to wait outside for a few minutes. And, so then he thought he'll do some homework, before he can talk to him. So he called his deputy to find out the situation, how to deal with this, what work can be allotted to him. Then his deputy told him, he said, sir, do not give him any assignment. Just send him back to the personal department. We just cannot handle him. He will be such a big bag of trouble and this marketing section will become a mess if we have him. If you give him any job, that's it. You're inviting trouble. We cannot undo the damage that he will do. Just leave him. But Vamsi, he did not want to listen to this advice. He called for the file of this union leader, his HR file, personal department's file. So the union leader was sitting outside. He was now, getting even more enraged. Because he saw that his file was being taken into the room. And Vamsi now quickly scanned the file. And so he saw that it was full of memos and reprimands. And so he has seen that this person had done many jobs, but it has always had a very colorful history, so to speak. And so after a few moments with himself, now Vamsi just called this union leader in. And the man was now almost like one, incensed tiger he was, because he was thinking what is going to happen. And he wanted to just, he almost like a tiger sensing danger, he wants to pounce on this new boss. And because he thought that, I know this guy is not going to give me any job. So as soon as, he called him, so this man blurted out, so you have seen my file, you know all about me, So you don't have any work for me, right? I know all you managers, you know, systematically you people have tortured me for years. So all that went on. And, you know, so he was on a rampage. And that man had been transferred 4 times in the last 16 months. You know, nobody wanted him. And he said, I know your decision. I know what you people think. So what, I go back then? You have no job for me? And once he absorbed, you know, he just didn't say anything. He just kept quiet. And he was like as calm as he could be. And after that man finished speaking and all his fiery waves subsided, then Vamsi gently persuaded him to take the seat. And he said, you know, can I serve you some water? And in a very concerned tone, he said, tell me, are you willing to work with me? Are you willing to work with me? And this 50 plus union leader was taken aback. Vamsi said, you know, I saw your personal records. And they're all perfectly fine with me, actually. I have no problem with your personal profile. You know, you have always delivered whatever was needed for the office. I have no question about your capabilities. You're a very, very competent man. Regarding other behavioral aspects of your personality, you know, they're all very subjective. And I don't want to go by what other people have been saying about you. I know that you are a competent man. As far as your other aspect of your personality is concerned, that, you know, that I'll figure out when you work with me. I don't want to go by what other people have said about you. So you tell me, what is the work that you can do, that you want to do, to the best of your ability? Work with me. And that union leader was really so surprised. I mean, in his decades of association with the company, not a single officer had ever spoken to him so nicely, so endearingly. You know, he was like a tiger, and now he was like a tiger which has completely surrendered. And he said, sir, I will do any job that you give me. And now it was turn for Vamsi to get surprised. You know, the way, he just quietened and, you know, he became so submissive. All the ferocity vanished. I mean, Vamsi was very moved. You know, how could this person can become so vulnerable? I mean, you can't imagine this person to be in this state. Then Vamsi told him that, you know, see, he has just come to the job, and just give him a little time. Let him settle down in his job, and then, you know, he will find out a good job for him. And the union leader felt very happy, and he returned as a very different man. But, you know, he went back with that feeling that, no, Vamsi is a very good man. He's a good-natured man. I want to work with him, you know. So a few days passed. And then Vamsi gave this man some simple daily tasks, you know, which a past middle-aged union leader, he was competent, you know, he knew his job. So he did all that well. So during February 1999, you know, Vamsi's organization now faced many difficulties in logistics. And there was a new problem now every day. And midnight was when the dispatch dock of his unit had to perform certain very important operations, and no one was willing to work during those unearthly hours in the night. So it was a job that brought no credit to the employees for the work done or the efforts put in. And if you know, and these are assignments, you can't really force it upon anyone. You know, you force it upon someone, they'll do a half-hearted job. And for Vamsi, it was like sleepless nights, you know, because those are critical hours. And if someone is not taking that interest to do that job,
very difficult.
You know, it's very difficult. So he was still looking for solutions. And suddenly, Vamsi thought, why don't I ask this union leader? And so he called for him and he said, are you willing to do this job for me? And he told him that, you know, he was assigning him the job because he has complete trust in him. He completely believes that he is competent to handle that crucial operation. And it was not to victimize him, asking him to work in the late hours. It is because he trusted him that much. And the union leader said, till now, any person who has spoken to me in this organization has always assumed that I am a troublemaker. No one respects me. No one ever considers my abilities as my strengths. I am always looked upon as a liability. Everyone thinks of me as a person. The sooner you get rid of him, the better.
Mm-hmm.
That is the kind of attitude with every single officer till now has looked at me. You are the first one to talk to me in such a friendly, endearing manner. I will definitely do this task for you. And even though Vamsi took that step of entrusting him that responsibility, everyone was advising Vamsi, don't do this, you know, you're playing with fire, this person is not reliable, you know, such a crucial operation, how can you give it to a person who's a rebel? You can't do this. But Vamsi said no. He stuck to his decision. And, you know, they say from then on what happened became part of the company's folklore. That old but experienced employee took charge of the logistics. He analyzed the whole operation. He came up with out-of-the-box ideas. He convinced Vamsi about his new methods. And in a short time, he brought sweeping changes to that whole operation. And that system evolved by him apparently continues even till this day. And this union leader is now looked upon by the management of the company as a very valuable asset of the company.
Beautiful story, success story. Yeah.
It's a real story. It's, it's a real life story of, you know, I mean, to me, this is how love can really be practiced.
So you, like, in this story, we see one is love, one is trust. You repose trust. Probably you see Swami in him and say, Swami, I will follow you and trust you in him.
Yes.
And then Swami responds to you.
In fact, that is something that I think each one of us should do that experiment. And I have myself done it so many times, you know. Many times, you know, when you go to a person who you think will respond to this situation in this particular manner, you want to take a clean slate.
Clean approach, yes.
And you say, I'm going to go to him and, you know, I'm going to see Swami in him and I'm going to try to use the power of love and see what happens. And I have been successful on so many occasions, actually. There have been so many occasions when, through the power of gentle persuasion, through the power of invoking divine intervention, through patience, through tremendous empathy, understanding the other person's position, the amount of trust that you gain, the amount of change that you see in the other person's perspective is something which will actually leave you quite surprised.
So, Nick, first thing which comes to my mind when you say this is that whenever you deal with anyone, don't go by hearsay, don't go by a preconceived notion.
Yes.
There might be things which there might be, everyone has their own drawbacks. So probably you go and approach anyone or any issue with the faith that Swami, you are there. You're going to help me in this. And then Swami opens a door for you which till now was unknown to you. And probably that actually gives you that strength to pursue that problem and then get a beautiful solution like this which you're talking about. Again, coming back to the other the next 2-3 lines which were there. One is about the attachment through reasoning.
Reasoning, yes.
Yeah. a very interesting Chanakatha of Swami. It's the way only Swami can tell Chanakatha like that. So he talks about a person goes to a marriage party and then he goes and has a sumptuous lunch. So the groom party asks him, where have you come from? He says, I'm from the bride's side. And they say, okay, fine. The things keep going on for some time. And then someone from the bride's side spots him and says, I have not seen this person. We'll just find out. So they come and ask him. Yeah, I'm from the groom's side, he says. And then after some time, due to some chance occurrence, the bride and the groom party just meet and during their conversation they find out, who is this person? It looks like a stranger. So then they say, no, he's from your side. No, he's from your side. So in that argument they understand that actually he's not from anyone's side.
Yes.
So by the time they realize this, that person vanishes.
Yes.
He is no more there.
And he's Swami, done his job.
He's done his job. So Swami so beautifully puts it and says, this is nothing but our mind.
Yes.
When we think about a negative or something, it strengthens our mind. When we actually go and do an inquiry and find out with reasoning, is it really there? It just vanishes like the morning the fog which just goes off when the sun comes.
Mm.
So Swami says, when you try to analyze the mind or the attachment, whatever you have, very, very intensely. And one very important mantra which Swami gives is, don't think about the past, don't think about the future, be in the present. And then, I don't know whether you know, you cannot miss Po, or the protagonist of, what did I forget the name of the beautiful movie, Kung Fu Panda.
Mm.
He was very dejected, and then the Master Ogwe, the super guru, he comes and says, why are you so upset? He says, I'm upset because I am no one. And as you know the story. Then he says, why don't you stay in the present? Because present is a gift. Present is a gift.
Mm.
Don't bother about the past because it's gone. Don't bother about the future because it's not in your hands. This present is a gift from God. Live completely in the present. So when you analyze that, like the bride and the groom start analyzing, they actually find that there is nothing around. That the so-called stranger has vanished. So when we actually analyze through our intellect, which is like when we get that understanding from that wisdom given by Swami, from our conscience. So that particular attachment or the thoughts which are frustrating, which are demeaning, which are negative, which pull us down or bog us down, they all vanish. So I felt this is a very interesting Chandrakatha which Swami has told. How to counter attachment by reasoning?
Yes, I think, you know, when it comes to attachment, Swami used to always mention, if you're talking about a husband and a wife, you know, what were you just a few years before, you know, before marriage, you had no relationship, you had not known each other.
Mm.
You know, from that day, suddenly you feel so close.
Mm.
And Bhagwan, of course, gives that example of a newly married couple, right? When they're going in the park and suddenly there's a thorn on the road and the husband says to the wife, darling, take care, there's a thorn on the path, you know. Please be careful. And he goes and he removes the thorn from the path and, you know, so concerned about her. And then a few months pass and 6 months down the line and they're again going in the park and now again the husband sees a thorn in the path and he says, you know what, just be careful, there's a thorn there. And so... she says, okay, and they continue the walk, and a year or two goes by, and now when they're going to the park, and there is a thorn again, and now he says, are you blind? Can you see? There's a thorn there. You know? So how it changes, you know? It's the same two persons, it's the same... Mm. So Swami says, you know, if your love is based on the body... then that will lead to attachment.
Yes.
The love should be always based to the Atma. In fact, I remember Professor Venkatraman once mentioning this. We say love all, serve all. When can you actually love all, serve all?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, which Bhagwan has mentioned, you can love all, serve all only when you have no attachment.
Yes, so true.
Because once you have attachment, then you can't love all equally.
Correct.
Only when you have no attachment, then you can love all and serve all equally how God loves and serves everyone. Mm. And as they say, you know, every time you are in a relationship, the relationships which have come from birth or which happen over time in your life,
mm-hmm.
if we just ponder, as Khalil Gibran very beautifully says, that, you know, these children are not given, they have not come from you, but they have come through you.
Mm-hmm.
So if we constantly feel that our connect, our relationship is only with Him.
Yes.
Then our love also will not be clouded and will not be adulterated
yes.
with our selfishness
mm-hmm.
and our not so sublime tendencies.
Which we just get in our journey. But yeah, one more thing which when you say this, one more thing strikes me is that basically we need to be open. We need to just be ready to receive and work, like make Him work through us.
Yes.
And we don't know wonders might happen. Like, you know, remember, I just had a chat with Bhagya sir. He was just telling me about the Gram Seva which Swami had so lovingly started for us. And then he was just sharing one incident, so touching. And like, if he says, if you just go and do my work, I will work through you and you won't know. You will yourself be surprised to know what all you can achieve. So he tells about one particular incident where they go to a village to, you know, we used to go give dhoti and prasadam. So they go to this particular village and then sir is there, you know, we go and serve each and every household. So they go to a house and then there's an elderly woman, there's a little younger woman, and then they serve, you know, we gave the clothes were and the prasadam was given. So younger woman was crying. She was not very happy. So sir was trying to see what happened. She's not got the sari or what? Why she's not happy? Why she's crying? Why she's sobbing? So then they try to find out from the household. They tell that this lady just few hours back, her husband has passed away. It's a big loss, mm. big tragedy happened in the house, and because of that she is sobbing uncontrollably. So then, as a very spontaneous gesture, our students and the sir, they just offer the sari and the dhoti to her also. And then they say that when she receives the sari and the dhoti, she feels that her grief has reduced.
Mm.
They see it in her face. How means her husband has died, the body is going to come to their doorstep here, and then in the final journey of her husband or the son of that mother who's there, she's going to be, the final journey will happen wrapped in Swami's prasadam, the dhoti.
Wow.
So they felt so relieved. Like as if some big burden, there's someone to take care.
Mm.
Means the timing of that incident which happened in that particular Gram Seva on that particular day in that village, in that household. Swami sent these boys and our staff and students at the exact time. And then, Swami says, this body is born, it'll pass away. But the consolation, not, and that assurance that I'm there.
Mm.
And we did nothing, we just went and did our job. But he worked through us and gave that assurance to that lady that, don't worry, I'm there to take care. I've sent a sari and I've sent this also. And so it was, for them, it was satisfying that, yes, the final journey will happen wrapped in Swami's dhoti.
Mm. Wow. Amazing. I mean, all of these things that Bhagwan is mentioning, anger through love, attachment through reasoning, falsehood through truth, you have to conquer bad through good, greed through charity. When you do one,
everything else falls.
You
in.
Will see, you know, beautiful goodness is like that. You do one good deed, and we discussed about it in the previous episode also.
Yes, yes.
You will see beautiful ramifications and beautiful ways universe is working with you.
Yes.
Because the universe wants you to do good. The universe is waiting to help you. You know, many times we see people doing wrong and we see them prospering, doing wrong. And they are doing more and more wrong and they're, you know, they have become really, so to speak, very successful adopting the wrong means. And you think, okay, that is the way. But what we do not realize is there are so many more people who are doing good and the world is what it is today because of these people.
Yes. And it is not that you do good, the world is getting benefited, you don't get benefited. That's also not correct. Like again, one small example I give, one of our brothers who had just shared this in very recently in Cycle One Thal also, that he, you know, in hostel we have so many different activities, we have so many different ways of doing service. So this brother was very sincere in serving food. He was not very interested in other things, but he used to love serving. You know, we have this dinner serving, lunch serving. So he used to do it very sincerely. Whenever our room, you know, every room will get a chance to serve on a particular day, on a particular session. So whenever he used to get this chance of serving, he used to do it with full heart. He used to love doing it and he used to do it also as an offering to Swami. And he says, you won't believe that after that, after passing out, he did MBA, he passed out and then he went. His job took him all over the world. He traveled all over the world and he went to different people, different cultures, different ways of food habits. But he says never, whenever there was a time for food, it's never happened that he had gone hungry. And the pure vegetarian food, whatever food he eats, it used to come to him without his effort. So it is not that if I do good, the world only will be benefited, I'll become a scapegoat. It's not that at all.
Yes.
You will get the benefit of it manifold back to you.
Yes.
Swami says, do counter bad with good.
Yes.
So, there will be definitely good ramifications in the people around you and the world as such, as you told, universe is ready, waiting for you to do good.
Yes.
And it will come back to you also because he says there is no other reason. Yeah, I go to Japan, I go to China, I go to somewhere in Europe, somewhere in Gulf, or you get the food in time whenever you want without you going hungry.
Yes.
It's all because he traced back, how is it possible? Probably because with so much of love and so much of pure feeling I did that service in Swami's hostel. But it actually is nothing. If you actually see what it is, just doing a lunch serving or a dinner serving.
Yes.
For the small act of yours, love or purity, Swami gives you so much more reward for that.
Absolutely. I mean, even this morning I remember, you know, when after the bhajan I had the chance to drop a very senior devotee at his home. And I was just doing that and suddenly I meet a youngster and this youngster says that, you know, he's into 3D animation and he would want to help Radio Sai and in any way he can contribute. You know, and it was a very interesting conversation and, you know, it was a win-win situation. He's so much long to work for Radio Sai that 3 years ago he decided to study animation and graphics work, thinking that one day he can work for Radio Sai, you know. That was
so
the
nice
dream with which he was working. But what I'm trying to say is I met him because I had gone there to serve a senior devotee.
you know?
So, I mean, very difficult to connect. But what I want to say, this is something that we experience as we do in life, you know. just close your eyes and do something good, and the universe will fill you with joy.
Give you more opportunities to do good also.
Absolutely. There is a book, The Difficulty of Being Good, by Gurcharan Das. But actually, you know, what I think, and I feel we can easily write a book on, the thrill of being good.
Yes.
Because so easily then, you know, you can conquer anger through love, you can conquer attachment through reasoning. You know?
Yes.
Even if there's a new person that came to your life, but you don't have to be overly attached. You can always feel God's love through everyone and just do your duty as per...
And follow Swami's dictum. Hello, hello, hi, hi, bye, bye. Why, not yes, more than that.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And you can definitely experience the joy of giving and come out of the misery of greed.
Yes.
You know? And so that is what Swami is telling. You can... And the joy of giving is something that, you know, everyone who has done it knows
definitely
about.
Definitely vouchsafe for it, yes,
yeah,
who has done it.
And knows about it. And I think people get addicted to it once you experience that thrill, yeah. You know. So, it's a question of just taking that leap of faith and bringing that paradigm shift in your
in
thinking.
Your life,
and
yes.
Just do it once and, you know, you will just keep doing it again and again. And I think that is what Bhagwan is saying. And that's why Swami is telling, it is so easy.
Yeah, correct.
Swami is saying, it is so easy.
Easy to conquer. Yeah.
It is easy to conquer anger through love. You know, we find it so difficult, you know. How do I deal with a person who is angry? Swami is telling, it is easy. It is not difficult. It is easy to deal your attachment with reasoning. It is just that we are not even putting that little effort.
Yes.
You know, it is easy to deal bad to good. It is just because we always felt that that person is good or that thing is, you know, not good or that person is a difficult person to deal with or, you know, that he's an angry man. But actually, Swami is saying it is very easy. Just think about the good.
Yes.
And things will change. And I think this is something that all of us have to do, that experiment. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Brother Bhargav.
Oh, this was a joy actually to share so many beautiful thoughts.
So, dear listeners, we'll continue this beautiful session in the coming episodes. We have so many more points in 7.3. As always, if you have any queries or comments, please feel free to write to us. You can write to listener@radioside.org. You can also send us your comments on our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. Offering this little endeavor at His lotus feet and expressing my deep sense of gratitude for enabling this session. I thank each one of you for being with us through this little beautiful journey and pray to Swami that He carries us through in the coming episodes. Thank you so much. Sayonara.